Today, as we are continuing our sermon series on the same old promises of God, hear the promise of freedom that we find in Psalm 119. Those whose way is blameless, who walk in the Lord's instruction, are truly happy. Those who guard God's laws are truly happy. They seek God with all their hearts. They don't even do anything wrong. They walk in God's ways. God, you have ordered that your decrees should be kept most carefully, and how I wish my ways were strong when it comes to keeping your statutes. Then I wouldn't be ashamed when I examine all your commandments. I will give thanks to you with a heart that does right as I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Please don't leave me all alone. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. As you get settled in your seats, will you pray with me? Lord God, as we have heard your word for us today, open our hearts and our lives to you and to your ways. May the words that come from my mouth, may the thoughts and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, God. Amen. Well, again, this day, as we celebrate missions, as we've had phenomenal, wonderful worship and an opportunity to say thank you to God, Psalm 119 comes to us in a unique way, I think. We hear these words. We hear about those whose way is blameless, people who walk in the Lord's instruction, those who guard God's laws, who seek God with all of their hearts, who walk in God's ways. These are the ones who are happy according to our scripture this morning, right? So in the first 8 verses, what we find in Psalm 119 is that the author begins to convey right away the importance, the primacy, the priority of God's teaching in the lives of those who would be faithful to God. So the psalmist states how God orders decrees and statutes to be kept carefully, commandments to be examined, and righteous and just rules to be learned, and then one more time mentions how statutes are to be kept. And that's a lot of rules and statutes and commandments and law. And to be honest with you, the first time I read Psalm 119, I thought, all that statute memorizing and rule following and commandment examining, I mean, I don't know about you, but at first glance, that does not quite add up in my mind with activities that I affiliate with happiness. That is not exactly my plug and play for how to be happy. And yet, this is where Psalm 119 begins. A bold, albeit repetitive, series of statements about learning God's laws, studying God's commands, walking in God's ways, and experiencing true happiness when we offer our whole hearts to God. And I say that this is where Psalm 119 begins because for those of you who might like to reach out for your Bibles now and maybe flip to Psalm 119, I would encourage you to do that if you have those or if you've got them on your phone or your device. Maybe go there, and as you keep reading or you keep flipping, then you soon begin to realize that not only do we start Psalm 119 with God's commandments and God's instruction and rules, but 176 short verses later, we finally conclude Psalm 119 with God's commandments and God's instruction and God's rules. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter of any book in all of Scripture in our Christian Bibles. It is often found almost precisely in the middle, the center of our Scriptures. And because it takes up so much space and is clearly so important to our faith, we are going to read all 176 verses of Psalm 119 right here, right now, today. Nobody takes me seriously. They laughed in the last service. I was all like, people are going to get so anxious and I'm going to go zing. We're not really going to do that. But you guys just know me too well, I guess. It is a long psalm, but it is a rich and wonderful and amazing psalm. And what we have when we look at it is this hard and holy opportunity to consider who God is calling us to be and how God is calling us to respond, not only to God, but to God's beloved world as well. You know, Pastor Sheila and I mention this often, that sometimes worship planning takes place way in advance of calendar planning, or vice versa. Or in this case, Mission Fair Sunday originally was on a totally different day when we first planned it. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit brings these things together in our lectionary text and what is going on in the atrium this day remind us that it is so very fitting that as we celebrate the ways God is moving in the hearts of those in our congregation, in our community, and in our world, we are also taking time in worship to consider together what it means to seek God with our whole hearts, everything that we are, what it means to be those who would walk in God's ways. Because you see, it is significant that Psalm 119 takes 176 verses to express the importance of learning and celebrating God's teaching and God's direction, God's guidance, God's commandment. These things are ultimately God's heart for us, to be full people in God's world. And we really are only going to look at the first 8 verses today, but I really would commend to you the reading of this psalm. You might take those 8 verse sections and read one each day, and in just 22 days, you'll have finished Psalm 119. It's only about 3 weeks, and that'll be close to the beginning of March Madness, which for me and for all basketball fans is most certainly a time when we need to be reminded of God's ways and God's goodness. Psalm 119, though, is a fascinating and complex piece of literature, not to mention the gift that it is to God's people who want to know God more, who want to be changed by God's ways. So I want to take just a minute to share with you some fun facts about Psalm 119. And yes, I did say fun facts about Psalm 119. It is, in fact, divided up into 22 sections with 8 verses in each section. Now, these 22 sections are delineated in your Bible by letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So if you've got your Bible open, then you might see right in front of Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8, a little funny-looking Hebrew character that is called an aleph. That is the Hebrew equivalent of our letter A. And so, in verses 1 through 8, each verse begins with a word that begins with the letter A, or with the letter Aleph in Hebrew. Then if you go on, for example, to verses 9 through 16, each verse begins with a word starting with the Hebrew equivalent of our letter B, so it's called Bet. And all 176 verses go on like this, so that you have this phenomenal alphabetic acrostic. Now, why on earth, you might be wondering, would anyone take so much time to compose such a lengthy poem on the teaching and the instruction and the statutes and commandments of God? I mean, think about it for a moment. If you have your Bible open or your phone open, flip through how many pages this takes up. And imagine with me what kind of devotion a person must have to come up with something like this. What kind of creativity and focus would it take to write 8 lines about God's law and start each of those lines with a word beginning with each letter of the alphabet? I'm not even sure I know 8 words that start with the letter Q, let alone could I find it easy to imagine composing praises to God or dialogue with God all focused on the topic of God's law and commandments while at the same time paying attention to the alphabet, 176 verses. Friends, Psalm 119, this Hebrew alphabetic acrostic, is honestly one of the most impressive literary works that many of us might ever encounter. And as we think about the person who wrote this psalm, I believe we would do well to pause for a moment and sit in awe and appreciation for one who focused on God with such dedication and intention. Acrostics function as memory devices for cultures the world over. And Psalm 119 is no exception. And so the goal, it seems, of the psalmist here is to help the reader to memorize these things, to carry these things in one's heart, in one's head, in one's life, when one can't pick up a Bible and read 176 verses right there. This rather long, very helpful memory device is for the reader to remind us of God's way, God's teaching, God's instructions and laws that are to be celebrated and embraced in daily life in tangible, consistent ways. So if you're in your scripture, you look back to the beginning of Psalm 119, or you remember maybe where we started when we read, you notice that in the first few verses, the author gives voice to what she or he understands to be the attributes of those who are truly following God. I would label these people as the saints among us, the saints who have gone on to eternity, calling them happy or blessed in some translations, and noting that they seek God with all their hearts, with their whole hearts, that they walk in God's ways. The psalmist says that because they do this, they are described as blameless, as happy, as those who don't even do anything wrong. A phrase I love because it reminds me exactly of how my 4-year-old daughter Emma describes her behavior when she has most certainly been caught doing anything wrong. But even as these descriptions of those who follow God take up the first part of Psalm 119, in verse 4, there comes this shift. And as I was reading, or as you look at it, you might have felt a little awkward in that space. In some ways, the translation feels a little awkward, moving from first to second and third person and kind of all over the place in that way. But I love this shift. It's a gift to us because the author speaks directly to God at this point. At this point, praising God's desire for people to keep God's ways, confessing to God. And here's where it helps me, because I have this picture of this very sincere, very personal longing of the author of this psalm to be stronger, to be better, to be almost more capable of keeping God's commandments. And I pause here and I name my gratitude for that shift, because while I love that Psalm 119 begins with a description of these saints that walk so well with God, I think it can be tempting to assume that we ourselves might not have that same potential to be blameless, that we ourselves might not be able to walk as faithfully in God's ways. And so in this shift in verse 4, what we find is permission for ourselves to confess, to name and admit when we feel that we too might have some growing edges in our own journey of faith. And then as verses 1 through 8 come to a close, the author speaks of this deep gratitude to God, somehow in the midst of everything already expressed. The psalmist offers his or her whole heart to God to be shaped and molded for God, ready to learn God's justice and righteousness, determined to keep God's statutes. I find myself almost rooting for this person. And then finally, the psalmist lets out one last cry to God for help. And if I had to give Psalm 119 my own words, it might sound something like this. God, you know I really want to live like all those saints I've known in my life who have followed you. God, I really want to give my whole heart to you the way that they did. so you can change me from the inside out. And I really want to live my days walking in your ways, God. But the thing is, I don't always know how to do that, Lord. I mean, I know what you've told me to keep your ways. And I know what I've seen in others. But God, please accept my sincere and contrite heart. Please know of my desire to follow you. I want to be yours and to live fully for you. And I will always be trying to do that. Yet somehow I know that I will always need your help. Please don't leave me all alone. Beautiful, holy, honest words of Scripture that we have today. Reminder that God has created and called us to be about God's ways, about God's teaching, about God's instruction, that we have saints walking among us, and they're right here in this congregation today, and they're right next door in the atrium. And like the psalmist, like each one of us, they may not be perfect, but aren't they and aren't we always asking God to be with us and to help us grow in our love of God, grow in our love of all of God's children? I know I have some growing edges. And as I think about God's teachings, God's instruction, God's law, as I look to God's word and to God's Son, Jesus, as I observe the saints among us today, and I think of the saints whose lives we have celebrated even in the past weeks, I am reminded that God's law actually has been made pretty clear to us. Whether we read it in the Hebrew Scriptures or we think about the response of Jesus to the one who asked him, Lord, what is the greatest commandment? Do you remember what he says? If you remember, say it with me. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's God's law, friends. If we have to summarize it into the smallest of words. But the thing is, the teachings and the ways and the law and the instructions of God are abundant and boundless. We can summarize them in that way, but we still get to spend our whole lives here on earth and our whole lives in eternity learning what it means to love God and to love neighbor with our whole heart, practicing daily what it means to walk in faith in the love and mercy of God, this God of grace and resurrection and hope. And though it may be tempting, friends, to read words like laws and statutes and commandments and rules as oppressive or restrictive, the beautiful irony is that God has made us in God's image. And do you know what that means? That means that like God, we are called, we are created, we are made to give ourselves away in love and in service to God and to all of God's children. That's what God's law and instruction and teachings are about. We're made to offer our whole hearts, our whole lives to the things of God. Justice for the oppressed, hope for all those who are in despair, grace for those who have messed up, love for all who have been abandoned. As we consider Psalm 119 on this Mission Fair Sunday, you know, I feel that God is pressing me to ask myself, pressing me to ask you something very much rooted in that wholeheartedness, in that daily walking in the ways of God's. Friends, we ask ourselves, how is it with your heart? And how is it
with your walk.
God's promise of freedom is found in following God and filling our hearts, minds, and very lives with God's goodness, God's mercy, God's grace. And then we are truly happy. We are actually free when we are fully loving God, when we are fully loving our neighbors. So today, what a beautiful opportunity we have. Today, as you consider the same old promises of God, the freedom found in following God's ways, ask yourselves, ask maybe even one another, how is it with your heart? How is it with your walk? And if you feel like maybe you have some space to grow, and let me name that we all always have space to grow in love of God and neighbor, then maybe you walk over into the atrium and you talk to the Bags of Grace team about connecting with people who are not living in traditional homes. Or maybe you talk to the people at Bright Bridge Ministries about serving and sharing a meal with a beloved child of God whom you do not yet know. Maybe you talk to a Cokesbury Children's Center board member about tutoring in our after-school program or helping our teachers in the classrooms. Maybe you talk to someone who's been to Costa Rica and you hear about supporting a ministry for God's most precious little ones who need shelter and love and connection and families. Talk to anyone you can in that atrium. Or if for some reason you can't quite make it over there because of your schedule today, then maybe you pick up that mission passport and you read about these groups, and tomorrow you make a phone call and you reach out in great hope and faith and love, trusting that God will connect you with the right person, the right place, the right opportunity to grow your heart and expand your walk in faith. Friends, on this Mission Fair Sunday, may we find true happiness by opening our hearts constantly, daily, consistently to God's love for us and for all. May we find true happiness by walking in God's ways of justice and compassion for all. May we find true freedom by partnering with our sisters and our brothers near and far to accomplish our mission. Do you remember the mission of Cokesbury Church to bring Christ to people and people to Christ? May we love our God, love our neighbors with all that we are. How is it with your heart this day? How is it with your walk this day? How will you respond to the God who loves you so much? Will you pray with me? God, in these moments, we are grateful for your word to us today as we humbly try as best we can to open our hearts to you. Please don't leave us all alone. Please come into our lives in new and unexpected ways that our hearts might become more like your heart, that we might walk in your ways and live in the freedom of following you. For it is in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit that we pray. Amen.